All right, welcome. It's so great to have all of you with us today, and I think you're going to find this to be a particularly interesting show and certainly an educational one. It continues to be a big education for me, and somehow we so much underestimate the importance of issues that just kind of go in one ear and out the other because we don't think of the importance, and one of those issues is banks. You know, you think of your bank, you go down there, you get low returns. You never think of the insecurity of banks, but how do these banks work, and how do we know that we can trust them? We've seen enough in just in our lifetimes right now to know that there are really serious issues that develop in the economy and certainly enough embezzlement and fraud, et cetera. Joining us today is Michael M. Heller. He's the president of Very Bank. And the website is veribanc.com. He is maybe in the minority of successful institutions doing this. And he's going to talk about it right now. So, Michael, welcome to the show. And tell us, what does Very Bank do? And whom do they work with?
Well, first, thanks for having me on today, Stu. It's a very honor to work with you. First of all, we are not a bank. We are a bank rating firm, which means we analyze the safety and soundness of banks. Our customers range from consumers to money managers, people that handle other people's money. These folks all want to know how safe their money is, whether they have CDs, money market accounts, plain old checking or savings accounts, and even businesses that may rely on lines of credit. And we've been analyzing banks for over 36 years now.
The fallout rate, what we hear is kind of sparse, and of course you are in the industry, but you know, I always think of a bank putting my money in. It used to be $100,000. It was secured. Now it's $250,000. So I think I'm safe. You know, if I've got $2.5 million, I'll put it into 10 banks. But it's not quite so simple, is it? Because there is a danger, and your research tends to indicate to people just where the dangers lie.
That's right. Again, we've analyzed literally thousands of banks and thousands of bank failures over the years, including when the S&L crisis hit in the mid-80s, and then, of course, the credit union and the Bank of New England crisis in the early 90s, and then most recently the 2008 through 2012 banking crisis. In our model, which is actuarially based, we just don't throw darts at a board, but we have a model that has predicted over 99% of all bank failures. Now, we can't get all banks failures because, believe it or not, there are some presidents and CFOs of banks that commit out and outright fraud. They all end up in jail, but thank goodness there are very few of those. But we are able to predict with our rating model over 99% of all failures, and usually at least 6 months prior to their failure.
Well, you know, as someone who didn't really have any sophistication in this area, you know, I'm thinking, listen, I got my money protected. I'm all set. But it goes beyond, and this is who your clients can be. It can be an everyday person. You get involved with somebody who's handling finance or a lawyer. There's a lot of money involved. You're liable. So this isn't quite as simple as it sounds, is it?
No, that's right. We try to make it simple for folks, but there's a lot of research that's gone into this over the years. And to your point, people that are handling your tax money or my tax money, people that are handling the liquid part of a portfolio, they have a fiduciary responsibility that they need to employ some type of due diligence that will help mitigate any professional liability exposure they have. And a lot of money managers come to us because of several reasons. The first is we're actuarially based. Again, we don't throw darts at a board. We don't come off with our favorite ratios that some of our competition does. But we have an actuarially sound model. We have the broadest analytics. We go through not only what the federal regulators go through when we look at a bank's safety and soundness measures, but we've actually developed tests that exceed those. We're transparent since day one. We've always published our track record. In other words, for each one of our rating categories, and there's eight, we've always published what the probability of failure is for each one of those categories. We don't do it just in the good times and the bad times, but we show you the entire track record for since 91. We not only do we have the broadest analytics and we're transparent, but we've been vetted by several insurance companies. We actually teamed up with one back in 92 through 2000, where they came in, they audited not only our business model, but our ratings model, and approved us for excess FDIC insurance. And the reason they vetted our business model is because a lot of our competitors will accept fees from the banks they rate to rate them. We've never done that. So we have a pure, guaranteed, no conflict of interest business model because no bank has ever paid us to rate them.
How do you derive your fees, and what kind of competition do you have out there? I know that you're right at the top in terms of the ratings, in terms of no bias, doing this effectively, the most outstanding research. You mentioned there are 8 points that are guidelines for you. Maybe we can cover that a little bit later. But how do you derive your fees, and how much competition do you have?
We have a lot of competition, Stu. However, almost all of the competition has what I call a hybrid business model, where they'll actually take fees from the banks they rate to rate them. Everybody's aware of the big three rating firms out there. That's their business model, is they get paid by the banks to rate them, and as Congress pulled them in the 2008 to 2012 banking crisis into their hearings in 2010, they got their knuckles cracked because of that business model. But we've never done that. The customers that use our service pay for our service, and that's what guarantees us, them, that we have no conflict of interest. A number of our competition, like I said, have a hybrid business model where they also charge their customers, but if you go to their website and you see a link to a bank that you can click on that brings you to that bank's website, then you know they're getting a click-through fee. We feel that's an inherent conflict of interest, and you'll never find a link to a bank on our website.
Not to point the finger at anybody, but we all think about this. Why don't all rating firms publish their track record?
Most of the rating firms that are our competitors have very bright people that came either from the regulatory environment or from Wall Street type firms, where they did their studies on banks while they were with those firms or while they were examining banks as a federal or state regulator. So they came up with their favorite ratios or observations, and they really didn't have the resources, if you will, on the math side to do an analysis that said, hey, let's look at not only what these ratios show in terms of a probability of failure on banks that failed, but let's also look at the banks that didn't fail that had these very ratios as well. Where our company was started by a PhD in advanced math, he actually used a very sophisticated math theory called stochastic modeling, where you employ a mechanism by which you not only look at failures, but you look at what non-failures did as well with those same tests. So the relationships that this model develops accounts for both the ones that, what we say in the industry, we throw under the bus or we don't get. In other words, we downrate that institution or that cohort of institutions, and they don't fail.
We're going to come back. Michael Heller has consented to stay for another segment. And we're going to talk about bank ratings and research, not your typical bank. But I want you to go to the website. It's veribank.com, V-E-R-I-B-A-N-C. Direct all your questions to them, not to me. I will simply refer you if anybody inquires. Michael Heller will return right after these messages. All right, we return. And again, happy to have Michael M. Heller with us. He's the president of Bank Ratings and Research. And if you're just tuning in and you're saying, well, what does that matter? It doesn't affect me. Think twice. Go to the website. You'll get a great explanation by going to veribank.com, veribank.com. And, you know, as I think about this, Michael, I mean, businesses may be easy to predict that they're going to fail. You never go in thinking a bank is going to fail. And there's only one way really to find out, and that's a bank rating firm. But you've got 8 criteria. So you found a red flag here, a red flag there. At what point does someone make the assessment that it may be time to pull and go somewhere else?
Well, Stu, that's one of the reasons that we've always published our track record. In each one of the 8 rating categories, we show the exact probability of failure that a bank is going to have so that the individual client can set their own risk threshold. Back in the day when we had a number of insurance companies using our service for excess FDIC insurance, they usually set a threshold where if the bank received not only our third highest rating, which is a yellow 2 stars, but showed deficiencies that were continually, that would prompt them to call the bank, talk to their bank contact, and see if the story was consistent with the type of financial information that we could provide to them. So it's not really a 1-0 event. It's more of a, you track the bank, we produce reports every quarter, so you can see if the institution is on course or if it is starting to decline. And then that allows you the tools to, again, talk to your contact at the bank. It may be the president, may be the CFO, it may be just the government person there that's taking care of municipalities, and to see if there is a problem. If, first of all, they'll admit there's a problem, and second of all, if they do admit there is a problem, if the story that they tell you and what they're doing to try to reconcile that problem is consistent with the financial data that you see, and usually most of the information that we provide comes right from the federal regulators themselves, so they've scrubbed it, and we usually show trending. So that not only can you see the most recent quarter's worth of information, but you can see the prior 3 quarters as well. So you can make your own judgments, and we're there to help if you ever have questions, obviously. But we try to put our reports out in plain English for folks to make their own decisions on whether or not, because it's a hassle. You know, if you have anybody with a payroll account more than $250,000, to change banks is going to be a very big hassle for them. So they want to make sure that the information that they get not only is accurate, but it's timely and it's consistent with what the person at the bank is going to tell them. Because if they make a decision to move, then there's a lot of time and expense involved to do that.
Well, I'm with a bank. I sense it's going to fail. I don't want to take any chances. How do I know where to go? What are my next steps?
Well, we have a number of reports that people can look at. One is called our Blue Ribbon Report. Now, the Blue Ribbon is a special accommodation we give to the safest or the strongest banks in the country. Not only did they receive our highest rating, which is green with 3 stars, but they've passed an additional 20 very conservative tests. And in the 36 years that we've been rating banks, we've only had one blue ribbon bank fail on us in those 36 plus years. And that banker actually committed fraud in filing the financial information to the regulators. And, of course, he ended up in jail. But Blue Ribbon Banks would be the first choice for anybody that's looking for a safe bank. And you should never just stop there. If you choose a bank off of that report, you should always track it, because banks are like any business. From quarter to quarter, their results may vary, and it's up to you if you have a fiduciary responsibility or if you have a large amount of money that exceeds the FDIC or NCUA $250,000 limit. You should really be doing some of your own due diligence on a quarterly basis. The information is published on a quarterly basis, and it behooves anybody that is tracking their own funds or somebody else's funds to, you know, get a report. It's plain English on a quarterly basis, and that way there's never a surprise.
We've seen the evolution of technology, two steps forward, one step back. The real problems we have going on, this may be a little tangential, but it used to be we were worried about different things, combat troops, et cetera, things in industry, fraud. Today we think about security. We think about transparency. We think about hacking. Where do you fit on that in your connection with banks? Because these have to be the biggest issues we're facing.
In terms of bank security, that's something that we just don't have any information or way to gather the information. Nor would we want the banks to publish it, because that would open up, hackers to get in probably more readily. That being said, we do canvass on a monthly basis any regulatory enforcement action that the regulators will publish, which may or may not include an operational deficiency. Along the question that you asked, yes, if they have, there's a big area that the regulators look at, and that's the Bank Secrecy Act and a number of related acts. So if they're not up to snuff on controlling funds from countries that are on the government's list of you shouldn't be doing business with them because of their background, they'll get slapped by their regulator with penalties, with fines, with one of these enforcement actions, which we do track on a monthly basis. Number of our larger and more sophisticated customers want that type of information, which, again, because it comes out monthly, it may impact the ratings. It may not. But because of the work that they do tangentially with a bank, they want that type of information.
All right, Michael Heller, it has been indeed a pleasure. We're going to continue this series because of the importance of this service, Bank Ratings and Research. You've got to trust with verification. Michael Heller, the president of VeriBank, has been here. You go to the website, VeriBank, that's spelled VeriBank.com. You'll get all the questions you need to answer, and someone will be very gracious and taking that time to work with you. This is Stu Taylor. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Stu.
All right, we're going to take a break and come back.